Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callender. I'm your host. And Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are absolutely grateful that the Lord has allowed us one more day. One more day in the land of the living. How many of you know that that's great, awesome, because many people that were here on yesterday are no longer here today. They have crossed over to another dimension. But God has favored us to keep us in the land of the living. And that's enough to give him praise. It's enough to give him glory. Father, we thank you. We praise you, O God, for this day that we have never seen before, and surely we will never see this day again. We ask you, O God, to forgive us all our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, O God. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We're going to worship for a little bit.
Tears when I cry, that's why everybody knows God lives in me. In my life is so, God lives in me. His love is telling me they're all that I don't want to cry. And it's about that time you let me through that. Tell me who can change your mind, who can make you right. Who can turn your rainy day into sunshine? Who can take the pieces when you're through and call away? God did it. God did it. Let me tell you what happens when you let it go. Blessings on blessings overflow. And if you don't know, now you know. You've got a seed in the ground. Watch it grow and let everybody know that God lives in you. In your life, just show that God lives in you. It's love and tender, they're all that I don't want to be right. And it's about that time you let me do it. Tell me who can change your mind. Who can make you right? Who can turn your rainy day into sunshine? Who can turn the pieces when you're through it all away? God did it. God did it. God did it. God did it. God did it.
Unselfishly died on Calvary. Oh, how you did rely on me. Bruised, scorned, crowned your head with thorns. No greater love is born for me. Now than you pay, now than you be. Piercing your side, could barely breathe. Could have came down, yet you remain. Standing in love, the price you pay. I never knew of a love so true. You gave your life, and still I heard you. Love for me, why do you care? But I repent, forgive me for my sins. You laid it all on the cross. You bled and died. So here I am, surrendering all, Lord, in my life, my need I fall, you paid it all, oh, 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 you paid it all, oh, oh, you paid it all, of your love I'm no good. Ooh. Ain't no money I can pay in exchange for the blood you shed for my sins. I surrender my whole life, my own, as a living sacrifice, Lord. I give up everything that's not pleasing in your sight, so I can handle the world. Oh, you gave your life. You gave your life. For me. So many times I crucified you. So kill me for my faith. Oh, oh, oh. You blessed me.
Some people say I'm crazy. I can't explain the power that I feel inside. Whenever I call your name, when the Holy Ghost
by you. Barbecue and waking up the whole time. Music clouds, turning now. Still tears are breaking out of the sky. Life is good, really good. And every moment, no, I can't forget. I gotta say, I won't change. You're the reason that I am right here. And the days go by, I don't try. Thank the Lord up above. And if you wonder why I'm loving life, come close and I tell you what's up. Me, I'm doing my best. Yes, yes. Living every moment, no regrets. I smile up on my face, I'm like, oh,
yes,
I'm blessed.
Yes,
I'm blessed. Ask me how I'm doing, I'm blessed.
Yes,
living every moment, no regrets. I smile up on my face, I'm like, oh,
yes,
I'm blessed.
Yes, I'm blessed.
Yes, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
Will you be there?
Carrying all of the work, my shoulders rise, cutting through heavy for me. Don't know, I ain't no Hercules. Life moves on, stuff breaks down, people fall off. Gotta find a way to get over. Gotta find a way to get through, break through, yeah. Troubles they last, that's turn back. It's been one thing after the other. Oh, I don't always know the right way. No, I don't always know the way. But all I know is something happens when I pray. I know I can get through when I pray. I know I can reach you when I call your name. You're never too busy for me. You're never too busy for me. When I hold on myself at the end of the road, looking forward and I see a fucking road. Hell if I know which way to go. I feel so alone. Life is so cold. I'm not very eloquent in speech. I don't always know how to sound holy when I speak. Papa told me something happened when I
we got the pain.
God got it. God got it. If you know that, you can testify. You can glorify. You can give him praise if you know that he got it. Doesn't matter what it looked like. You got to know that God got it. God is working it out for your good. Hallelujah. Somebody this morning, the Lord spoke to my spirit. And he said that somebody is going through the fire. It seems like they're in the fire. All the trials that they're facing, health problems, financial problems, relationship problems, job problems, all of these things seem like they're bombarding some people out there. And the Lord said to tell them, it feels like they're going through the fire. He said, but I'm working it out for you. And you're going to come through the fire. In the revelation that he gave me to tell whoever's out there dealing with some sort of situation, going through means that you're not stagnated. You're not stopped in the filth that is trying to take you down. The problems, the accusations, the criticism, all the stuff that's trying to take you out, the calling your names and talking behind your back and laughing in your face, he says, I'm working it out for your good. The same people that try to see you fall will see you rise. The same people that try to see you fall so they can laugh, God still says, they will see you rise. So you got to understand, when you come through the fire, you're not even going to smell like fire. The smoke is not even going to get on your clothes or get on your body. You're going to smell better than when you went into the fire, when you were dealing with all those situations. Father, we ask you this morning, as we worship a little longer than we usually do, we play much more, for just to worship you and bow down before you. We ask this morning, God, that you just look upon us and the frailty of our statues. Father, we don't claim to be a mountain, neither do we claim to be the valley. But, Father, we just declare that we are your servants, that you have called out of darkness into your marvelous light. Lord, we didn't decide to do this on our own. You called us out. Matter of fact, you brought us out. You brought us out of the fire, just like the three Hebrew boys. And, Lord, you are causing people to see us, that we are your servants, Lord. To your people, we ask this morning that you bless us by touching our tongue and touching our eyes and our ears of clay, that we might see and hear and speak your truth. As someone out there in computer land, surfing the web mirror, run into this page and listen and say, yes, I'm the one he was talking about. I'm in the fire. And I need the one that can cause the fire not to burn me while I'm in the midst of the fire. The one that can speak to my financial needs. The one who can speak to my health needs, my relationship needs, oh God. I pray this morning that you move on this Blog Talk radio service as never before. Father, we give all latitude to you to do whatever you choose to do this morning. Father, we are not looking for any accolades. We are not looking for any praise. All we want to do is touch a heart this morning. Touch a heart somewhere, near or far, that would say they want to be saved. They want to be closer to you, Lord. They want to be like the woman with the issue of blood. They just want to touch the hem of your garment. They want to be like the blind man at the pool crying out for help, that you would cause them to get up and take up the stuff that we've been carrying them and begin that they've been carrying and begin to carry it in the mighty name of Jesus. Excuse me. This morning, all of a sudden, this air conditioner is messing with my throat. This morning, we want to talk about power. Proclaim the truth. Power to proclaim the truth. You know, a lot of people want to teach and preach. They want to sing and dance. but they're not consulting God, the Father, for the authority and for the power to do what thus says the Lord. They say, well, I'm talented, I'm gifted, I've been to college, I have degrees, I know how to speak, I know how to articulate. All the nice things they know because they're depending on their own strength, their own know-how to do. I have to depend on the Holy Spirit because my mother and father, my family wasn't able to send me to college. They didn't have the finances. You know, so everything that I get or have comes from the Lord. Everything. I don't claim to be anything but what God says I am. This morning we are talking about power to proclaim the truth. Power to proclaim the truth. In Acts chapter 1, we're going to run around the scripture. I've got a lot of scriptures to give you. You know, I was supposed to be going to work this morning, but I texted the lady and said, well, I would come up this evening because, you know, I don't want to keep losing all this time on Blog Talk Radio. Then my spirit man gets weak. I need the word to keep me growing. Here in Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 8, I think I write down. Yes, let me see. Yes. The former treaties have I made with made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, you see that Jesus was teaching these young men. And he was teaching them, instructing them, and what to do, how to do it, and when to do it, and where to do it. But here they want to know about the kingdom of Israel. You know, when Israel will be back in power and authority. But Jesus said it's not for them to know the times or the seasons. You know, some people are working to want to know what the stars are saying, what the moon is saying, what the sun is saying, all of this stuff. And they want to know what the future holds for them. And he says this way. Wait till you receive power. See, because you need power and authority to do what I call to do. You don't need to know about the stars and the moon. I already ordained them to do what they're going to do. I placed them in their rightful positions. We need to get in the position that God has already ordained us to be in and operate in there. We see we are looking at this body and that body, and we're going to this person and the next person looking for a word instead of seeking God and trying to touch him like the woman with the issue of blood. We're not calling out to him like the blind man because we don't think that we need to see clearer in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. We don't cry out for the spirit of discernment. We pray out for money. God, I want more money. I want a bigger job. I want a greater promotion. All this stuff we are thinking about. We're seeking the things of this world and not the things of the world to come. Here in this book, he said, look, there was a treaty made. But Jesus began to teach. He said, there's a treaty made between the heavenly realm and the earthly realm. But he said, look, I'm giving you something that you need to take you in this realm. We need power, and we need it. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. Oh, my God, I hear you. We're coming back to Acts chapter 2. Let's go to Luke chapter 9, because I just heard that again. I didn't put it on my paper. I heard it last night, but I didn't write it on my paper. But I just heard it again, because he wants you to hear this. See, he says, the Bible says, Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, then he, talking about Jesus, called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Oh, this is very important. Your anointing is for special purpose, a special reason. Your anointing is not for you to focus on getting lucre or getting money. Your anointing is not on your life, on your ministry, for you to go and get a new Rolls Royce, get a Bentley, get a jet, or focus on getting a house in Hawaii, one in the Caribbean, one in Europe, and one in Africa, all over. This is not what you're anointing for. Hear what he says, the power that I'm giving you, that I'll give to you. I'll give you power and authority. In other words, you got the power and you got my name. The authority is in his name. The authority is in his name. And he said he gave them over all devils and to cure diseases. This is what you are anointed for. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. How many people are preaching about the kingdom? How many people are going down to the hospital? They tell you that they're anointed, appointed, and approved by God. They elaborate on the word of God because they spend a lot of time in the school of theology. They tell you straight up, I'm an author and I'm a doctor of theology. They tell you. And you can't even call them by their birth name. You can't call them. They don't speak to you. They roll their eyes at you. You hear what I'm saying? Because they want you to call them apostle, doctor, this body, so on. Hallelujah. And then you call them by their name. After all this stuff, you got to tell them. One preacher looked at me because his title was Dr. Bishop so-and-so. And I didn't say doctor. So he looked at me and said, man, I'm a doctor of theology. He said, you got to call me this. So I wasn't really disrespecting you, you know. But he felt like I was dissing him or something. Here in the book of Acts chapter 2, we have power. We must know that we have power. We have to speak it in the atmosphere. The Bible said death and life is in the power of the tongue. They that never should eat the fruit thereof. Proverbs 18:21. We must speak over ourselves. You're waiting for the bishop to speak over you. You're waiting for the prophet, the prophetess, the apostle, the deacon, the elder. You're waiting for these people, women and men of God, to speak over you. You need to get up in the morning and speak over you. Lord, I'm in heaven. I'm in good heaven. Father, I thank you for raising me up this morning. I thank you that my body is strong. My mind is clear. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord, that I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I thank you that I have power and I have authority to make it through this day, to proclaim the kingdom of God. Father, wherever I go, I'm victorious. Wherever I go, I'm more than a conqueror. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you are supplying all of my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ. I thank you, Father God, that no weapons formed against me and my family, my friends, we prosper. Every tongue that come against us in judgment, God, we condemn it right now. In the name of Jesus, Father, my house is protected. My car is protected. My children and grandchildren, oh God, they're protected. They're covered in the blood. Everything that you have given to me, oh God, is protected. It's sealed and secure in the mighty. You got to speak this thing over your life. You want things to happen. But God says, don't claim, or don't run after the things off in the world. He said, you got to seek the kingdom of God first, and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added to you. So what we want to do is what we want to get discernment. We want our spirit man to become alive, to be strong. So when the weapons of this world come against us, we can use the weapon of our warfare. What's the weapon of your warfare? Your prayer. Open your mouth. Take out of your belly. But if you don't put something in your belly, you don't have anything to put out. You know, if you don't eat, Lord, this is bad. Look, if you don't eat, you're not going to go to the bathroom. You can't go to the bathroom. If you don't drink water, there's nothing going to be in your belly to urinate. You can't go to defecate because you haven't eaten anything. You know, when you're fasting 40 days, the first week or so, you go to the bathroom regularly. Because you're cleaning out your body. And after you go in, when you get up in the second week or third week, nothing is coming out of you because there's nothing in there. It's nothing in there. Hallelujah. You have to put something in. It's the same thing with the word. Same in the natural, same in the spirit realm. You have to put some word in. So I'll go home and get in my Bible. No, go get the Bible in you. Second, and let us start at verse 1. So when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. This is one of the problems that we have in the house of the Lord. You say, well, you've seen this apostle, because this is true. This is one of the problems that we have in the house of the Lord, that we are not on one accord. We are fighting each other like crabs in a bucket. If one preacher says another preacher getting some accolades, jealousy comes up. If it looked like a preacher just got, he had a Volkswagen, but all of a sudden he got a BMW, jealousy shows up. If one preacher get too many calls to go and proclaim the gospel, hallelujah. Instead of we praying for each other, thanking God for using each other, because my day is going to come. Your day is going to come. Our day is going to come to preach and teach the gospel. We get jealous. If they call up one person's name in the sanctuary, Pastor said, well, Sister Mary is always faithful. Sister John, Brother John is always faithful. He's always at the church and the building. And I don't even have to ask him to do anything. I don't even have to ask her to do anything. She's always ready to give. She's always ready to do something. Oh, my God, she's going down to the nursing home and praying for the people. And he started to give this guy a little bit of accolades for recognizing what he's doing in the kingdom. And the devil started pricking people inside the sanctuary. And they may have been at the church longer than Brother John or Sister Mary. And he said, well, a pastor don't never call up my name. Pastor don't ever give me no accolades. No, they're mad with Pastor, they're mad with Brother John, they're mad with Sister Mary. This is what the devil does. Stop us from walking in this power and walking in this authority. We can't proclaim the gospel with power and authority. This is why people are not coming to the house. This is why people are not coming to the cross and allowing Jesus to drip the blood of cleansing upon them. Wash them with the water that come on his side. Because why? Jealousy. We can only stay together for so long. Then we say, well, I got to move on. And you know, they lie on God. People lie on God, but God wants me to move on. There's some place you got to move, because if you're not learning, if you're not growing, we always say that if you're not increasing, you're decreasing. Hallelujah. So if you're not growing where you're going, you need to move on. If you're not getting substance for your spirit, man, I'm not talking getting stuff for your flesh, because a lot of folk want to be pampered so they can get excited. Instead of getting what they need to get to cause their spirit man to rise up to want to praise God even the more. If you're not getting that, you need to move on.
So here the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, this is the place, the time that they're going to come together to worship God. Hallelujah. Fellowship with each other. He said they were all with one accord, one mind, one spirit, seeking one God. That's what they were doing. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. See? In other words, they were all of one accord. They have the same mind, same spirit, same focus. Everything lines up. And then this, see, when we come on one accord, the Spirit of God is going to show up in the midst. He is going to do marvelous things, wonderful things, glorious things in our midst. Because we are not watching or trying to pull from one another. We are helping each other. That's what we are doing. And the power comes. The Bible says, listen, this is so powerful. And they appear unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Now, I want you to know that it wasn't fire, but it was so hard upon them. It seemed to be like fire. They couldn't stand still. You see, when the anointed, oh God, when the anointed, the presence, every presence of God come upon you, you can't stand still. I remember when I got baptized in Jesus' name, I came up out that water, I had the robe on. I could not stand. I mean, something come upon me and in me, I've never experienced it before, because when that first, they called it baptized, but it wasn't baptized, back in the country. In Barbados, when I was going to the church, all the churches was under the Catholic Association at one time. And when I thought I was going to get baptized, I was so happy, because all of my nephews and cousins, all of them, they had got baptized, and I want to be like them. They seemed like they were doing good. Everything was happy for them. And I got in there. I was dressed. I had a little robe on, little half robe thing. And the priest dipped the ladle in the poured the water on my head. But I didn't know. I thought I was baptized till I came to America. So I didn't really experience that time with it, because that was sprinkling, you know. I didn't experience the power that people are talking about in the Bible here until I went down that water. We call it a liquid grave. When I come, they couldn't hold me. A lady, she's an elder, easy. She wrote many books. I don't know if she's still alive, because I don't hear her name, in Virginia, Arlington, Virginia. And she baptized me. My God, when I came up with that water, I took off running. I don't know why I was running, but I'm telling you, I was running down the corridor. We was renting a school then, a school auditorium, big auditorium. And, man, I was running down through the auditorium, coming up the other side, going down the middle, down the other side. I tell you, they said, leave him alone. She said, leave him alone. The Holy Ghost is dealing with him. Tell you something, when we get on one accord, excuse me, when we get on one accord, we begin to see the manifestation of God's power in our presence. You don't have to conjure up nothing, act like you like something happened when there's nothing happening. All you're doing is putting on a show, rolling on the floor and all that kind of stuff, and going around the pole like you're a belly dancer. No. When the anointing comes, people know. People that have discerning spirit know that the presence of God is in their midst. Folks start crying, nobody's touching them. No physical person is touching them, and they start weeping because the anointing is in the house. He had a police officer a couple of weeks ago, came into service, and I was teaching and preaching. And then I started to speak the prophetic word. And the police officer got a big old gun on her side. Started weeping. He came to the altar, started weeping. Well, because when we on one accord, this anointing, this power, this presence come and begin to transform people. Look, people still look black if they're black. They still look white if they're white. They still look Chinese if they're Chinese. But the inside of them begin to change. They're drawn to him by his presence, his spirit. He told us straight up, no one can come to him except he draw them. But we have to be on one accord, the ones that are reading the manuscript, that proclaiming the manuscript must be on one accord. You preaching the gospel, you can't stand some of the people that's in the congregation. It's in you. You can't stand some of the people that's in the congregation. You can pray loud and strong and everything, and seconds after you pray, you want to start a fight. You want to be argumentative, but you say you love the Lord and you love God's people. How can you come from so high up in the spirit and jump down low in the flesh? Something is wrong. You're not on one accord. He says, look. And they appear unto them cloven tongues like as of fire and sat upon each of them. Everybody had the same thing. God is no respecter of person. See, this is why we get what happened to us. We allow the enemy to come and open the eyes of jealousy. Hear what I'm telling you today. I don't have any notes, but I'm flowing now. I have about 20 scriptures or so. But I'm flowing right here in the spirit, what God is saying through me, for us, for me first. I'm getting it first. He's whipping me first. He's cutting me first with this word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When I preached this message in 2017, I call it proclaiming the truth. That was the topic. Last night, the Lord changed it. He changed the topic. I said, Lord, I don't know what I want to teach this morning. So, Lord, give me a word. So I started going through my notebooks. And it came up proclaiming the truth with power. He said, but title it this time, Power to Proclaim the Truth. You can speak the truth. Even the drug addict, the prostitute, the lesbian, the homosexual, the thief, the gangbanger, the dope dealer can talk the truth. But it has no weight to it. It don't have any power to it. It doesn't have the anointing. It doesn't have the authority from God on it. You understand what I'm saying? He has to anoint it. He has to anoint it. That's why folk can preach the gospel in seconds after they want to fight. He says, listen. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Spirit has to give it to you. The Spirit of God has to do the work on the inside of you. You get you talking all kind of stuff when God didn't told you to say nothing yet. Don't jump off and always want to jump off and want to pray for somebody because they said they need prayer. Wait until the Holy Ghost release you to pray. He's going to be the one praying through you. You're going to be the mouthpiece of the Holy Ghost. He's going to use your spirit to declare what he wants done, your mouth, your tongue. Soon as somebody says, oh, I got a bad knee, I got a bad back, you want to jump off. No, wait to see. God may have said, just don't say a word. Just touch him. He may have said, don't touch him. Just speak a word that I'm giving to you. But wait on God. Don't jump off. If you read the prophets, you'll see that a lot of times Elijah, and Elisha, they didn't do what people want to do when they want. They wait on God. You know, when the lady that had the baby, that Elijah asked God to open her womb so she can get pregnant. She didn't have no children. She was rich. Her husband was rich. They had a lot of property, a lot of land. And the child died. I know the Holy Spirit just dropped this in me because I'm not even there. And the woman goes and tells the husband, she said, look, give me one of the servants to go with me, and I'm going to take a couple of donkeys. I got to go see the man of God. She didn't ever tell her husband that his son, that was the only son they had. God gave him to him. And the child got sick and died. He was out in the field with his father. Got sick and said, take him to his mama. His father said, send the father busy trying to harvest the crop. and to take to the mama. While the mama got the child died, lay him on the bed and go to see the man of God. And the man of God didn't move right away to come back with her to see the child. He told Gehazi, his servant, to go with the woman of God. And the woman says, he said, look, I'm not. She said, I'm not going. I'm going to stay right here. You got to come. So Gehazi told Gehazi, he told Gehazi, no, go lay my staff on the child. Every time he laid the staff on the child, nothing happened. But now Elijah said, look, you know, I got to go. Gehazi said, nothing happened. Told the prophet, nothing happened. See? Gehazi is not, he's just taking orders from the prophet. But he don't have the authority. He don't have the power. And in this case, the prophet could not transfer his anointing. You remember when he was caught up in the ear, he told Elisha, I mean, some people call it Elisha, that if you see him when I'm taken up, that Elisha wanted a double portion. He said, you ask a hard thing, but if you see me when I'm taken up, you'll get it. See, the anointing can be transferred, but it has to be done when God says so. Well, Elijah went over there and laid on the child a couple of times, three times, and all of a sudden the child began to sneeze. Life came back into the child. Because he had power and he had authority. Gehazi, his servant, he was a good servant to Elijah. Until one day he disobeyed Elijah. You see, no, you see that here, he had disobeyed the man of God. But when Elijah go to the house, he laid on the child. The child's body began to get warm. The child's power come in from Elijah, leave Elijah's body and go into the child's body. And the Bible said the child sneezed. Life came back into him. I'm telling you that when we are one accord with man, with God and with man, power will come through us. We want to say, oh, how anointed I am. I'm filled of the Holy Ghost. I'm tongue talking and fire baptized and Holy Ghost filled. All this stuff we say, but we can't get along with our own brothers and sisters. And we profess that we are all this. No, you know, some people are well learned. Like I said before, they went to college, they went to high school, went to college, you know, the trade school, whatever. And they have degrees on their walls, you know. They're really well learned. They know how to speak. They know how to speak the Hebrew and the Greek and the Latin stuff. But you know what they don't have? They don't have compassion. They don't have mercy, no grace. You see, because they're looking, their main objective is getting accolades from one another, getting honor from each other, not honor that comes from God. You see, because when we get honor that comes from God, we know how to love on each other unconditionally. I don't love you because you can give me $25, $10, $2, $3, $100, $50, whatever you choose to. I don't love you for that. That's why I get up out of here at almost 74 years old and go to here and do work. I got to go this afternoon and install a new stove that's supposed to come today for tenant. One of my customers, tenants. And I just put up its electronic security cameras for her on the big house. I just installed that so she can see all around the house in the driveway and see who's coming to the building. That's why I go and do the work. Because the work allowed me to bless other people that are in need. Not people that are trying to use God, but people that's in need. Because God has given me a strong discernment who to help and who not to help. There was a lot of people I was helping that I stopped helping. Because I know what they were doing, trying to use what God is blessing me with. I know who's hungry, I know who's starving. I know who's lacking by the Spirit. I was blessing some people, and all every time I see them on YouTube, they got a brand new suit. Every time I see them on Facebook, new suit. The money was for the orphans. But they spend more time on buying clothes for themselves and new shoes because they want to look good to the congregation. And the orphans were suffering. I had to stop. I do what I got to do myself. I know who to send it to. Here in this book of Acts, listen, let's go down through this thing. Holy Spirit, thank you so much. He said, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews and devout men. verse 5. Listen, listen. Out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. No, everybody was confounded. I mean, they were amazed. And they were looking. Folk were looking because they hear themselves. They were hearing these men of God speaking in their own language, in their native language, and they were supposed to be Jews. Some were speaking in Greek, some were speaking Latin, some speaking French. They were speaking all different languages because the Holy Ghost was moving, and the Holy Ghost wants to get other people's attention that he is present. Not the preacher. He is present. That's why I tell the people on Sunday morning, I'm not the preacher. He is the preacher. If he don't show up, let me tell you something. I go blank, just like Mitch McConnell. I go blank. I can't do it. He got to preach. He set up. They begin to hear. They begin to hear them. These people was devout people. Some Greeks, some Jews, some Galileans. They were hearing their own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own town wherein we were born? They're speaking in our own dialect. Hallelujah, glory to God. They're not speaking as Galileans because it's the Holy Ghost doing what he needs to do. He wants to get their attention. See, when we begin to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and take total control, people realize that's not us. We're not putting on a show. We don't need lights to flash. We don't need to have dry ice in the altar and smoke coming over the altar. We don't need all that stuff. We see what happened is most of these highfalutin preachers, excuse me, they can preach well, but they're putting on a show for the people. You know, they're walking back and forth, bobbing their head like there's some toy on the dashboard. They have lights, all kind of fog lights, blue lights, green lights, yellow lights, flashing all over the altar, going around in the altar, passing over the people back on the altar, in the back, in the music room. It's flashing all over the place like in a discotheque, like in the nightclub. Well, you don't need that. God don't need that. God don't need dry eyes, smoke coming up out the altar to know his presence. That's not his presence at all. But they're putting on all this stuff and showing, so, well, we got to have this in the house. We got to have that in the house because this is God's house. God, all we need to have in the house, we have to have obedience. Obedience to the Spirit of God. We have to be obedient to who God said we are. We have to have some integrity, walk with integrity, incorruptible. This is what we have to do. We have to walk in a way that when people see us, they can say, that's a man of God. That's a servant of God. That's a woman of God. That's a servant of God. We want to preach and say, we got fire. Oh, I got fire. I'm filled with fire. I speak in tongues. I'm Holy Ghost filled. And as soon as you get off the altar, you're doing exactly what the other people in the world are doing that are not saved. Something is wrong. This is why we're not seeing the manifestation. This is why the church is worse than some of the hospitals. So many people sick. You look around, you got people in wheelchairs that can't get up. People crippled. People got asthma. People got bronchitis. People got emphysema. People got, you understand what I'm saying? People got diabetes, high blood pressure, all this stuff going on. Hallelujah. People got arthritic pains in the back, in the vertebrae and neck and all this kind of stuff. Pains everywhere. And we don't have the power and authority to lay hands on them in the name of Jesus Christ and see the manifestation. But you see, the first thing that has to happen in the house of the Lord is that the preacher got to get right. I want you to know this. The preacher has to get right first. Why? Because the preacher is the head. He's under Jesus Christ. Under Jesus Christ. He's representing Jesus. He's not Jesus. He's not Yeshua. He's not Yahweh. He's not El Shaddai. He's not Jehovah Shabbat. He's not Jehovah Nisi. He's not Jehovah Shalom. He's not El Shaddai. He's not Jehovah Adonai. Do you hear what I'm saying? He's a servant. But he has to live as, she has to live as one that are called by God. Not like the world. You have women in the church that have first ladies. You have men in the church that have first gentlemen. All of this stuff is going on. And some are married, woman married to a man or man married to a woman, and have a girlfriend on the side. The woman got a girlfriend. The man married to the woman and got a boyfriend on the side. You understand? They say, well, you can't. You don't see the power and the authority. God told me this last night. I said, Lord, you really want me to teach it like that? He said, I'm going to give you everything that you want. He changed it from proclaiming the truth with power, we did in 2011 or 12, to power to proclaim the truth. Because we can proclaim the truth, but we don't have no power. That's why he said, you got to worship me in spirit and in truth. Some people got truth, but don't have the spirit. Some have the spirit, but don't have the truth. Do you hear what I'm saying? We have to have spirit and truth. That's where the power lies. Your spirit must be connected to God's spirit. And then your tongue must be connected to his truth. Speaking truth, not deception, because you have a lot that teach and change truth, but it's a deceptive truth, which we call a half-truth. It sounds good, but it's not good. And you say, oh, preacher, and then you repose what the preacher says. But you're not looking at it and in the spirit to see that's a half-truth. Because they're saying what you want to hear with your itchy ears, not what you need to hear with your spirit. Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I just want to go down to verse 30. Let's see where we're going. Now, let's see where we are. He says, verse 9 says, the Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya and about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, they were converts of Judaism. Greeks and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. You see, these are people that don't know God, but they hear now these men of God, and possibly some women, praying and talking with the Spirit of God and releasing the tongues of all these different nations. So they realize that it's not these men. Something is going on with these men. Something is going on with these people. There's a power that's at work that we have never seen before. Don't you want to see that? You know, and years ago, back I think they said was in the 70s or 60s, in Azusa Church, where people were going in there blind and coming out seeing. Crippled and coming back up walking, going in wheelchairs, and then they coming out the place carrying the wheelchair. Some of them leave the wheelchair behind. Some had walkers and canes, and they went in there because the Spirit of God was there. The people was on one accord. The pastor had pasted for so long, and he lived a holy life. It's a black pastor. Lived a holy life before God and before God's people. But see what happened is we have a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. We look the part, but we're not the part. It's a time that we got to get back. All pastors, this is how they fight for. The pastors, the prophets, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, all the fight for ministry. From the front door to the back door, to the bathroom, got to go back to the front, go to the altar. And bow down on their face. Bow down to the face, to the carpet, to the ground, and repent. And not just the people to see, because God's listening, God's watching. Repent and ask God to create in them a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us. God, change us. Give us a hunger and thirst for righteousness, oh God. Lord, let us just focus on the thing that you want us to focus on. Let us not focus on getting rich anymore. Let us not focus on having the best car in the neighborhood. Let us not focus on having the best house on the hill or houses on the hill. but let us focus on souls, O God. But he told them disciples back in Luke, he gave them power and authority over all devils and to heal all diseases. Not some. Why can't we go down to the horse field and lay hands on the sick and get up out of bed? But we'll get in the house, we'll wave our jacket, we'll throw water over the people, we'll throw oil over the congregation, oil people's suits and dresses getting full of oil. They got to take it to the laundromat. But nobody's getting changed. Nobody's being renewed. Why? Because there's no power. There's no authority from God in the house. These men are eloquent speakers, very smooth talkers. Women are very smooth talkers. They're writing books. They have CDs and DVDs they're making. But they don't possess power and authority of God for God's people. God's people are sick and dying. See, the enemy don't want me to deliver this message today. This is why he's putting an itching every time the air condition come on. Because it's hot out today, real hot. Every time the air condition come on, the dust that comes out, I got to check the filter in there. After I finish, I'll check. I got some spray filter and check and see if the filter's dirty. The dust comes through the vents and it's like itching in my throat. He don't want this mess, but he can't stop it. See here, these people from all different nations, and they hear the apostles speaking in their own town. Even some proselytes converts to Judaism. Some proselytes was hearing the word. Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. See, there's always going to be some people. Let me tell you something. There's always going to be some people when you begin to teach and preach the gospel, they're going to criticize. They're going to mock. They're going to say all kinds of things about you. Why? Because they don't want to accept that you're full of the power of God. They don't want to accept that. Go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're talking today about power claim the gospel, or power to deliver the truth. This is what it is. Power to proclaim the truth. Same thing. The gospel is the truth. It says in Acts chapter 20, let's start at verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continue to preach until midnight. See, at midnight, the demons comes out preaching. He was a long-winded preacher. Because the Bible says he preached for many hours. But you can see that the people that were at the meeting, at the praise service, they were hungry and thirsty. They weren't playing church. Here today, I told them last Sunday, I'm walking away from the thing. I got to get some to drink out the fridge. But I told them last Sunday, I need to move the clock out of the church. Because the clock is right across from the altar. It's right across from the altar. And when you're preaching, after you preach for about 20, 30 minutes, the people is constantly watching. I got some beet juice. Some beets out my garden. I make some juice. I'll get that. Some beet juice. That should be good. Yeah. They're constantly watching the clock. The people are constantly watching the clock. Like, they want to go home. Some of them come, and I told them, some of them can't get to church on time. I said, if you need me to come by your house and pick you up, I'll come and get you. But they come late and they want to leave early, you know, because they're watching that clock. We had one Sunday, the ladies come and the Holy Spirit came down in that place so powerful. And wonderful time when the Holy Spirit comes. Hallelujah. When his presence is there, people realize that God is not you. On the first day of the week, upon when the apostles, the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow. He got to go. He's a traveling preacher. And continue his speech until midnight. Hallelujah. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in the window a certain young man named Eutychus. Being fallen into a deep sleep, and as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with his sleep and fell down from the third law and was taken up dead. Paul went down and fell on him and, embracing him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." You remember when Jesus went over to Jairus' house. He's a ruler. And he's a devout man. And a government official. Jesus went over to his house because he had sent for Jesus. And Jesus went over there because his daughter, who was 12 years old, was sick or dying. Sick unto death. And Jesus went in there and took her by the hand and called life back into her body. That's power. That's authority. We don't try nothing. We don't know what we have. I went down to the hospital with Evangelist Baxter. She's around now. She married to Pastor Brown over in Georgia. And her niece was in the hospital. Her boyfriend got shot in Boston. And when he got shot, she went right. She collapsed. She didn't get hit. She collapsed and went into a coma and was in there for a long time. And they said she would never, ever talk again. She would never walk. She was just out. And if you ever watch Star Trek, she looks like one of those people in there. She had tubes, little tubes, they call them wires, but little plastic tubes. They were going all over her body. Brain, they had a thing on her head to monitor her brain. Heart monitors. She had a tube in her rectum so she can go to the bathroom. In her vagina so she could urinate. And I went in there. The nurses started laughing. Because my seven evangelists was there. And I had the evangelist say, "Look, this is your niece. You anoint her certain place." I pointed out certain places that the Holy Spirit would give me. I said, "Anoint her here, anoint her there." God, I don't touch women like that. Because you can end up with a lawsuit. You understand? You have to use wisdom. And I told her, "You coming out of here." Let me tell you something. The nurses were laughing because they already had their prognosis. They already planned, met, said, the doctor, nurses said she ain't going to come out of the coma, she going to go on to oblivion. Of course, she couldn't move her fingers, couldn't move her toes, nothing would move. I begin to pray. We begin to pray, asking the Lord to give this young woman back her life. And all of a sudden, her finger moved. And I'm going to tell you something. When her finger moved, I'm talking about power to proclaim the truth. When her finger moved, I just jumped so high, I thought I was going to hit the ceiling. I said, "Pastor, I said, Devonis, do you see that? Do you see that?" She didn't see. She said, "What the pastor?" I said, "She just moved her finger, her index finger, just like a trickle, you know, a little sudden jerk." And then we kept on praying. I said, watch her. Next thing, her eyelid lift up, make a couple ups and downs. And Pastor, she says, "Pastor, I see that though. I just moved. I said, "I told you she's coming out of here." Prayed, anoint her feet and the head and hands, and she anointed her knees, chest, and her belly and all that stuff. And we left. Well, a couple of weeks we said we're gonna go back over there to look for her. But we go back to the hospital over downtown in Boston. We have this nurses, where is so-and-so, her name, I can't remember her name, Janine or something like that. But either way, the name is not important. I'm giving God the glory. When we go back to say, well, she's not here, she's going to rehab. So, you know, I said, rehab? She, yeah, she's going to rehab. All of a sudden, after you guys leave here, so-and-so. I said, well, praise the Lord. I said, well, I told her, so I said, we got to go to the rehab and see her. I got to drive 100 miles. Back to not driving. She don't have no car. I drove 100 miles back to the and we got in. We had took a little time to find her in the rehab. A lot of people in there. And Springfield, Virginia. I mean, Massachusetts. Springfield, Massachusetts. And we drove up to Springfield, about an hour away. Where we found the girl, she was in a wheelchair. You know, she wasn't a wheelchair. She was wheeling herself around. She was actually in the right sense. She was talking. And she tried to took my, this old computer, this very old computer I got here. Screen is crap. But it's the best computer. I tell you, it works better than the new computers I got. Yeah, this iPad. I said, no, you can't have my iPad. She wanted to have my, get my iPad. I said, look at God. A girl that couldn't open her eyes, couldn't move her finger, couldn't move her toes, couldn't talk when we got there. Now she is wheeling around. Now if you go to Georgia, she got her own car. She raised her baby that they thought that would have to be raised without his mother. And she got a car. Don't tell me God wouldn't do. You just got to live right. I didn't say live perfect. You got to live right because none of us are perfect. But live right according to God's word. Something we just step out because we say, I got a woman, I got a wife, I want a boyfriend, or I got a husband, I want a girlfriend because my husband's not able to take care of business like he used to be. He's an older man now. I still got the knees to want to get it on. So you go get a little young boy. You go get another young girl because your wife is not giving you what you want. You understand? And this breaks the anointing. This blocks the anointing. That kind of stuff blocks the anointing. It blocks the power that God wants to release through us, to flow through. He wants us to be the conduit here on earth. We must be the conduit of heaven here on earth. That the power flow from the throne room through us to people. It's not going to flow if we dibbing and dabbing in sin. I'm talking about the power to proclaim the truth. Hallelujah. This is how it's going to flow through us. We still in Acts. This new scripture is Acts. And here the Bible says, Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for the life is in him. Paul said to the people, trouble not yourselves. The people were worried. Everybody was worried. Do you hear what I'm saying? They were worried because this young man fell out the window. You hear what I'm saying? And he is dead. He is cold. He's getting cold. About this time now, he's starting to get cold. Paul go down there and laid on him. He began to get warm. Here in this book, Paul is proclaiming truth with power and authority. We told you about Acts 1 to 8. Here in this book, he says, when he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till the break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, the young man that was dead, and were not a little company. In other words, everybody was excited. Everybody was excited, this young man that died. Went to sleep because preacher was preaching too long. Here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 24. He said, go away, Jesus is speaking. Go away, I'm reading out of the Logos Bible. Go. Let's go up to verse 23. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the disorderly crowd, he said, go away, because the girl is not dead, but is sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when the crowd had been sent out, he entered and took her hand, and the girl got up, and this report went out into the whole region. See, when you know that you know that you know that you're operating with power and authority, you can stretch out and touch somebody. You're not praying just because you can pray. You are praying because you know that you are filled with power and you have the authority of Jesus Christ. You can sign Jesus' name to your prayer. Do you hear what I'm saying? Let's go over to Luke 24. Luke 24, King James. Luke 24. We're talking about power to proclaim the truth. I give you a lot today. Give you a lot. Luke 24 and 1. Now when the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, they were worried, confused, puzzled thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. You see, it takes power, and it takes authority for the grave. Jesus told them all this would happen before it happened, because he knew that he had an assignment from the Father. He not only had to die on a cross, be buried and rose again, but he had to give an assignment to his students, to his proteges. He had to give them what they needed to complete the task that would be set before them. He knew that they could not do what they were called to do without having power and authority. Go to 1 Corinthians. We need power and we need authority. Not man's wisdom or God, man's wisdom. We need God's wisdom, God's power. See, we can go to the school and we can get all of this information they give us in the school. And we come back, we get a building, we get a praise team, a choir, we get some organ player, drum player. You get a bass guitar, first lead guitar, maybe a saxophone, a trombone or something. And you have a system now that can tickle the people's flesh, their ears and everything. Because once you have a good band, and you have some good musicians, and you have some sweet-sounding melodious singers, the people are going to come. We're not concerned. We're not concerned about having the anointing. We're not concerned about having the power and authority. We want to have all of these amenities that the people like. Good choir, good praise team, good keyboard player. Oh, and it's a man, he make the organ. Oh, you got to come on down. They got an organ player down there. He make the organ talk. Oh, you should hear that girl. You should hear that lady that's leading the praise team, leading the choir. You should hear that man. Man, he can sing. That brother can sing. I hope that makes him see. Oh, no, all this stuff is going on. Nobody's talking about the anointing, the power of God. We're talking about all man's stuff. All man's stuff. Understand? Not the power of God. Nobody's saying that, you know, the preacher, he's full of the anointing of God. She's full of the anointing. She's full of the authority and the power of God. I'm telling that man, he walks up right before God. That woman, I'm telling, that's a holy woman. That's a holy woman. You don't hear no people saying that stuff. You don't hear them talking, man. That preacher convicted message. Every time they preach convicted message. But you go down, nobody talking about hell or heaven. Nobody talking about judgment. Nobody talking about sin. Preacher posting the stuff on Facebook. Oh, how? Just sign your name to it. Man, there's a season that's, a season is coming upon us so fast. Coming upon us so fast. The season is coming upon us so fast. The season of judgment is what I'm talking about. It's coming upon us so fast. You just, if you don't, look at the world and see how the world is turning upside down. Look at it for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Look at it for yourself. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. That's that verse 1. He said, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the church of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. Now Paul began to tell him, no, we ought to be given to the poor. But you know why we don't give to the poor? Especially in the small church. In the big churches, we have the 15,000, 10,000, 20,000, and they have four services. Everybody wants to give. In a little church with 25 members, 70 members, 30 members, people don't want to give. People find an excuse not to give. God said, you got to give. Paul already told them about collection for the poor. He said, I don't want to hear nothing when I come, when he come. Why? Because we ought to have a mindset to give. Why should we have a mind? Because we on one accord. If we on one accord, we don't have a problem with giving. Nobody don't have to pry you up and say, well, give $10, give $5. You know, if we got so many people that call. Man, I got new people that is downloading the Blog Talk service. I see new people on Facebook downloading the message. You know, ask everybody give $5. $5 a week, that's $20. $5 a week, that's $20 a month. You know how much people we can help? You know how much $20 can do in Africa or India? $20. Folk want you to beg them to give. I said, no, Lord, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to pray for God to give me more work. And some days I got to shut the line down. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I got to shut the line down today. So I got to, well, I've been working up with this job that I'm doing now. It's just a small job. I could have gone over there this morning, but I said, nope. I'll go this evening. I'll be in traffic anyway, but that's all right. Here in chapter 16, First Corinthians. Let's go over. We just did that. Let's go over to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. I'm not going to get all the scriptures in today, so we'll come back and touch it up again tomorrow. The Lord say the same. Revelation chapter 1. Can we have a lot of scriptures, like I told you, part 2 tomorrow. Revelation chapter 1 and verses, Holy Spirit, 10. I was in the Spirit and the Lord on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. See, the church has to get the message first. In other words, the angel of the church has to be brought to a place of power and authority, understanding the truth of God's word, not prosperity, name it and claim it. People are dying and going to hell right from the house of the Lord. I hate to say the house of men, because we are more focused on advancing the business, because that's what they say. I was in the church, big church. Yeah, the buildings are $2 million building. Very, very luxurious church. I mean, just beautiful inside and out. I'm telling you, beautiful. The work that the workmen did in that building. Beautiful. Well, they don't speak about sin, S-I-N. They don't talk about judgment that is coming. They all talk these happy messages. And people say, well, I love my pastor. My pastor's a good preacher. I love my pastor preacher. You know why? They love the, Deacon Fraser called it, Kool-Aid message. They love the Kool-Aid message. But I said to God, I said, God, you know, people of mine come to Blog Talk Radio because Blog Talk Radio don't play. Blog Talk Radio is all about holiness. Excuse me. Righteousness. I'm telling you that I say this in the church building that we are pastoring now. That I'm not perfect, though not plan to tell. I'm not there yet. But I can tell you straight forward that I'm not where I used to be. I'm not where I want to be right now. But glory to God, I'm not where I used to be. I'm pushing on to get to a place where God would say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Go to Exodus. I missed a scripture there, but we are kidding. Exodus chapter 23. We got to get this thing out, man. I'm telling you. Everybody know about healing and deliverance. Okay. We tell you where the blood, the person touched the hem of the garment and raising, opening the blind eyes. Oh, that's all good. That's all good. Because this is what he does. And we tell you that we want to hear about how you're going to get a job and how you're going to get a wife and how you're going to get a man. And where you get the man, where you get the wife, where you get the husband, what you going to do to keep him. Or you want to have him and have sex and all this stuff and nice house and nice car. What you going to do to keep your wife? What you going to do to keep the husband? Where you get him? Have you considered what you must do to keep your husband? The same hardness and work that you put in to try to get that, find that man or find that woman, you got to put in to keep him. You know when you were staying up all night on the telephone talking, speak talk to the ear? Because you want to encourage them, want to entice them to fall in love with you. Now you got to operate the same realm. In that same realm, you got to put on all the things that you can put on to keep her. You got to do all that you need to do to keep them. But when we get into Christ Jesus, he said, I'm saved. I'm sanctified now. I speak in tongues. But you don't want to follow the manuscript now. Speak in tongues. You're saved. So you say, you sanctify. You're fair baptized. You're all this stuff, but now you don't want to follow the manuscript. It's like buying a new car. But you don't even want to go over the operational manual. You don't even know how to turn on the GPS in the car because you have not studied the manual. It's the same way. You wonder why you're coming up short all the time because you're not studying this. This is basic instruction before leaving earth. We got to know it. We got to know this book. This book, I don't care if somebody said, well, they took up 14 books. I don't care how much books to take up. We got enough to live the way that God called us to live in these 66 books. If we follow them, you're not going to get everyone perfect. But the more you work on them, the more you're able to do it. Here in Exodus chapter 23, let's pull up a couple of verses here, and then we'll go to Leviticus, and then we'll get over here. Exodus chapter 23, and this is a verse 14, 16. He says, three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee, in the time appointed of the month Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. Verse 16. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field, three times in the year all thy meals shall appear before the Lord God. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. The first of the first fruit of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not tear a kid in his mother's milk. Now, God here in this text here, and this is powerful because we don't think about it, even in the local church, the African church does it. We don't require for the people to bring the first fruit of their harvesting. No, these people had to bring the first of the first fruit of the land. They had to bring to the house of the Lord. In Africa, the pastors require that this is done because it's scripture. You know, people say, "Well, I don't have to take that to the church. I don't take my money, my first paycheck to the church. I got to pay my light bill, my water bills." But this is the scripture here. It's right here. He didn't say tithe, because they're fighting against tithe now. You know that's a big fight now. You have preachers that are preaching against tithing, because they say we're in the New Testament, and the New Testament, we don't support the tithe anymore. But when they want help, they come to the church. They don't want to give tithes or offerings, but when they want help, they don't have no milk in their fridge. They don't have no soda, Deacon Prairie to call it Kool-Aid. They come to the church, but they don't want to give offerings or pay tithes. But here God requires the first of the first fruit of the land, thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not see a kid in his mother's milk. See, you got to do something. You got work to do. You want to preach this word? You got to make up in your mind you're going to live. No. Some people are not married. No, they're single. You can't masturbate. You're still sinning. You say, well, I'm not sleeping with no woman, but you're going in the bathroom and masturbating. I'm not sleeping with no man. You're in the bedroom masturbating. You're sinning. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is why you're not operating in the power and authority that Jesus talked about. We're talking about proclaiming our power to proclaim the truth. Every one of us that got, we got taught. Wait, let's give a scripture in Leviticus. Let's go to Leviticus, and then we see where we go. No, we want to have this power, but we don't want to do what God says. People got a lot of word. You know, preachers got a lot of word, but no power. It's our study. I've studied this stuff for 50 years, 60 years, 40 years. They know they have the dates and every time, but no power. Because see, when you go down, I know this, because God, I thank you, Holy Ghost, all the powers, all the praise and honor to Jesus Christ. I've been in the hospital. I've been in the hospital and prayed for people that are dying. The doctor said so. They weren't coming out the hospital. I also went in the hospital when God said they're not coming out. I heard him say they're not going to make it out. Hallelujah. And I went there to pray for people that God told me, said, go pray for them. Lay hands on them. If it's a woman, have a woman minister, I anoint them. And guess what happened? They come up out the hospital. Doctors amazed. Leviticus chapter 23. Let's put the two verses here. And then there's so much of this stuff here. We're going to go into power of the Spirit. Here in Leviticus 23 and verse 15 and 16, he says, and you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath for the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. See, when we celebrate now Pentecost, do we give offerings to the church? Do we give offerings? Or we just go down there because we want to make some noise, jump up because the choir is singing, praise is singing, bishop going to do this, apostle going to do that. You know, we go over all that stuff. But do we say, well, look, I'm going to save up some money. I got these days to save up, because, you know, after Pentecost, we want to be right there at Pentecost. We want to keep our offering. We don't think none of this stuff because we more focused on receiving than giving. And the power is in giving. It's in giving. In giving. Let's go one more scripture and we're going out of here. Jesus, have mercy. Maybe two more scriptures. Go to Numbers 28. Numbers 28. Glory to God. Power to proclaim the truth. We can jump up. We can jump down. We can roll off the floor. I seen pastors rolling around the... They got beams inside the church, poles inside the church. That's the way the building was built, to hold up the second floor, because they have a upstairs where you can go around the circle like a horseshoe, and they have beams that hold posts that hold up that. And the pastors jump off the stage, the altar, because they treat the altar like a stage now. It's not a holy place. And jump off the altar, and he go on now. He got his robe on, look the part, and this man can preach. But he's going around the pole, apostle. He's dancing, going around the pole, preaching like he is these belly dancers or dancing in the nightclub, and go around the pole half naked. He go around the pole. What are you doing for? Trying to impress who? You don't need that. God don't need that stuff. Then they brought the man back there with a button. He got a remote control in his hand. And they pressed the button, and all the smoke coming up out the altar. Dry ice they got somewhere underneath the altar. And they got hose. And the hose are blowing the smoke up. God don't need no magicians in this house, man. He don't need that stuff. Well, he needs some holy men and women that is determined that they're going to operate in the power and authority of God, that they're living a sanctified life. They're not running no game on nobody. They're not trying to rob nobody or anything. They're not sexing and fornicating and committing adultery and stealing and cussing and snorting cocaine behind closed doors. They're not doing that stuff. They're not sleeping with the little boys and little girls in the church and in the bathroom, molesting little kids when they go to the bathroom. They're not doing all that stuff. They're not going to put their little child up in the office because the mama trusts the child with you, and you got the child up in the office having sex with a little 13-year-old girl, 12-year-old girl. They're not doing that. They're not doing that. God forbid, if you did that before, don't do it anymore, because you know the truth now. Listen. Numbers 28 and 26. Let's see what it says. Glory to God. Moses was an awesome man. And he talking about offering. He says, also in the day of the first fruit, when you bring a new meat offering unto the Lord, after your weeks be out, you shall have an holy convocation. You shall do no civil work. See, God has an order of doing things. You want to operate in this power, in this anointing that God wants you to operate, you got certain steps you got to take. There's certain things you got to do. Your pastor got to do it first. The angel of the house got to set a standard. We can't let people slip in the sliding, and we're not setting this thing. This thing has to be set up by the angel of the house. We got to go back to the foundation. Go back to the book. Hallelujah. We got to go back to the book. We have too much stuff going on. And you wonder why it's going on. Because we're not telling the people right and wrong. We've hitting them with prosperity. Oh, God wants to bless you. And God wants to heal you. God already said that he wants to heal you. God wants you to prosper. But God has a requirement for this thing to happen. Contingency on it. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health. Even, listen to it, even as your soul prospers. How's your soul going to prosper when you're never opening the book? And then when you open the book, you're not living by what you're studying. I'm not saying what you're reading. You're not living what you're studying. You got much word. Your vessel is overflowing with the word of God, but you're not living one of them. Not one of them words that is in your heart, you're living. And we got to get to that place where we begin to live the word. We got to get to that place where we begin to live the word. Where we begin to live the word, what happens is the power and the authority that we talk about in Luke chapter 9, verse 1 and 2 come upon us, and it will operate through us so that devils will begin to run. Demons will begin to scatter. And when they see us coming, he said, Paul, I know. Jesus said, no, Paul, I know, but who are you? They will recognize who you are, that you've been with Jesus, that you are operating under the same anointing that's upon Jesus' life. Jesus said so. He said, the works I did, you should do, and even greater works. So what's happening, when we hear and study the scriptures, something is wrong, not with God, but with man, that we are not operating in that realm of holiness, that realm of power and authority. So what we got to do, don't look at God, look at yourself. We got to take an examination, an inventory of our own heart. Pull every strand, every muscle, every tissue. Go in there and start studying. Say, God, show me my heart. Not the one that pumps. The spiritual heart. Because there's something inside of there that is not lined up with God's word. There's something in us that's not lined up with God's word. When we get that thing lined up, like we talked about in Acts chapter 2, when we come on one accord, we begin to see the power and authority of God working in our presence, in our midst. We got to get on one accord. Church is too divided. I don't care what nobody says. If we don't get right, the world is not coming to us. They're watching us, and they can see what a great division is in us, among us. The world is seeing it. There's a great division in the church. They don't want you to talk their stuff. Every time she talks, she talks about the church. Every time he talks about the church, people, the preachers. Well, God talk about them. He said that judgment going to begin at his church, in the house of the Lord. That's the church. That's the body of believers, not the building. He said judgment going to begin there. And if judgment going to begin there, it would make sense that we start talking to each other, helping each other to see the truth and hear the truth and know the truth. We start doing that. And there won't be a division among us. Glory to God. God wants us to come together. Because the night is coming close, coming fast. Okay. He talks about in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and 10. He brought us into this because he's showing us something. We talking about power to proclaim the truth. And God is showing that when we operate in this realm and we get these things together, these are orders, commands that God is laying down to the prophet Moses. He says, verse 10, says, thou shalt keep the feast of the weeks unto the Lord thy God with a tribute of a freewill offering of thine hand, which thou shalt give unto the Lord thy God according as the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. We don't think about this. See, if we teach this type of stuff in the house of the Lord, people would know that God requires us, all of us, to give to the kingdom so that we can help. He said, bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse that there be meat in my house. You know, when I first heard that script, I said to myself, I said, the Lord don't need no meat. But when people come to the house, they don't necessarily have to be part of the house. When people come to the house and they're hungry, all people call up the pastor and say, Pastor, I got a need, and I need your help. It's like if they're calling to God, because the pastor represents God. So the people call out, and the pastor would say, well, okay. Let me call up the trustee, because you know what that goes on. You know, like I said, all the city, they say it, I don't say it. It's a business, it's a chain. So the pastor now got to call up the trustee. Sometimes the trustee got to call up the deacon got to call up the elders, and they go through all this crazy stuff, you know, before they give to somebody. And then you hear them say, well, some of them say, well, is that a member? Is he a member? Is he a member? It's not about that. This is why we, all of us, should be given. All of us should be given so that when somebody called on the pastor, pastor don't have to think twice. They're God's children. We got to bless them. You know, I got some people that are people that God blesses, women and children, babies, the babies, single mothers that Blog Talk Family take care of. I may not get to, may not ever get to meet them. The work of the kingdom. Understand? That's the work of the kingdom. So, Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word, Lord Jesus, that you have given us today. And we bless you for blessing us with it, O God. God, as we always say, we don't profess to be no great preacher, but we know that you are. And you have called us out of darkness into your marvelous light to declare and decree the truth of your word. We pray, Father God, that we may have spoken something today that would draw somebody out there in computer land to you, not to me. Because, Father, we recognize we don't have a heaven or hell to put anyone in. But we know, God, that you are the one that draw your children, the lost ones, the ones that don't know you, to you. You said it very plainly that no one can come except you draw them. And we ask you today, in the precious name of Jesus, that you would draw through this message today. Draw lay people, draw preachers and pastors to you. They did begin to examine their own walk, their own talk, their own life, how they're living, how they're treating others, you know. And Father, that people would come and say, what must I do to be saved? Must I do like the Enoch we talked about yesterday from Ethiopia? What must I do? What would hinder me from being baptized? Because I've heard the word. We want to preach the truth. And we want to live the truth. Well, we're not here to point our fingers at anybody. We don't have that kind of power. We don't have that kind of power to point our fingers. But we want to. If we point, we are pointing to Jesus. We are pointing people that they might see him and they might draw close to him. Father, we pray today for this word as it gone forth. Out of my mouth, out of my belly, out of my heart, let it rest in the hearts and minds of people that are thirsty and hungry today. We ask, Father God, that you continue to raise us up with a desire to seek you more and more and more and more. Now, there's somebody out there in computer land, Father, that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And we want to give them the opportunity to receive him. If you don't know him, or maybe you have backslidden, or you are on the verge of backsliding, don't even realize that you're backsliding. You don't fellowship anymore. You don't go to church anymore. You're not studying your word, and you're not obedient to the word any longer. You're doing your own thing. So in that way, you are slipping back, slipping away from your place of being a child of God. Something has come into your mind. Excuse me. Something has happened that caused you to deviate from the things of God. So in a sense, you are drifting, slowly drifting. We always say that backsliding is not a sudden dash, but a slow slide. It is a slow slide. A lot of people can be backsliding, even being saved and sanctified for many, many years, and then all of a sudden you find yourself drifting away, drifting backward, because God didn't move when you want God to move. It didn't happen when you want this or that to happen. But you have to still trust God. Trust God that what you wanted God to do for you, that he will do for you. Not man, God will do for you. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today I urge you to take the time to call upon his name. Call upon him now. Invite him in your heart to come in and sup with you. Just call upon Jesus. Let him know that you are a sinner, that you recognize that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. Tell him. He knows the truth already. But see, you're talking out that stuff because you want to let the devil know you know where your help will be. It's in Jesus. It's from Jesus. So call out to him and tell him that you need to be saved. You need the Savior. Hallelujah. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Double L. Not some. It said all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means you, me, us, all of us. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, you can still come back home. See, even though you've been living a sinful lifestyle, you can still come back home. Because he is faithful. The Bible says he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, not some, all. A place to rejoice. He said that he's faithful and just to forgive us of all. You see, he said, look, I'm not going to say, well, this one over here, I can't. He said, I forgive you all unrighteousness. Giving us another chance. Sometimes he gives us four or five chances. You know how much time we mess up? How many times that I went back out in the world, crack cocaine? How many times that I went back in the world and fornicated, committed adultery? How many times? And God forgave me and brought me out of that darkened pit of sin that was leading me, taking me to destructive hell. And he drew me out. If he can do that for me, and he did, he can do it for you and will do it for you if you would just reach out. Like the woman with the issue of blood, reach out and touch him. Even touch him with your heart. Touch him with the words that come out of your mouth. Touch his heart. Let him know that you're in need. You're a sinner in need of a Savior, and he's the only one that can save. He's the only one to save. Satan will destroy your soul. He can't save your soul. Only Jesus, the Messiah, the soon coming King, he's the only one that can save a man or woman's soul, a boy or girl's soul. Hallelujah. He can set you free, put you back in right standing with the Savior. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever, that means anybody, believe in him, Whosoever believeth on him will not be shamed, put to shame. Hallelujah, glory to God. Trust me, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, he's going to open doors for you that no one can close. He's going to begin to bless you beyond your comprehension. And a lot of times when we hear blessings, people just only think financially. But, you know, when you go to the hospital, like I just had an appointment, and when I left to go to Barbados to visit with my sister, my sugar, I never had no problem with sugar diabetes, was on the verge, heading upward to lead me into, put me into the diabetic ring. And I went down there. My doctor told me, he says, well, you don't have diabetes yet. He says, but if you don't work on it and control the sugar, there's a possibility that you will become diabetic and we will have to put you on insulin. I said, no, doc, you ain't going to put me on insulin because I ain't never going to be a diabetic. And, you know, you might say, well, how you can say that's very bold, so boastful. No, I know the God that I serve. And I know that the adjustments that I had to make, that I would have to make. Well, the same thing with sin. If you continue in sin according to the word of God, the Bible said that the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. That means there's a price to pay. And we know, so, but everybody going to die. Yeah, everybody going to die. And that's true. But everybody ain't going to die spiritually. Everybody going to die in the flesh, natural death. But then you have a spiritual death that the book of Revelation talk about the second death. Okay, second death, that's the spiritual death. Hallelujah. Where you'll be dead spiritually, but you're going to be tormented the rest of that spirit life, that you're going to be in hell. Because you ain't going to live a spirit life with Christ Jesus. You're going to live a tormented life if you continue to sin. You have to pay a debt. There's no escape. You can't say, well, I'm just going to do this. I'll get over. No. You have to surrender your life to Christ Jesus. You have to make a decision. Today may be your day that you want to make a decision. And if you want to make that decision today, I would be glad to pray with you. You know, whatever the Holy Spirit tells me to say, and you want to say it with me, along with me, I say it along with you. And we both can rededicate our lives. You know, I love doing this because every time I say it, I feel like I'm rededicating my life to Christ Jesus. I'm allowing him to come back in fresh and touch my heart, touch my soul. So if you don't know Jesus, the Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that means anybody, believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You can receive Jesus today in your heart. You might say, well, I can't see him. It's not about seeing him. It's about knowing by faith. By faith you receive him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You go up in the airplane and you jump out. You see, but you got to jump out. You're going to jump out with a parachute. And the pilot tell you that, the instructor tell you that you train for that for a while. You know, you go through practicing. But the final jump, they tell you all about it. You know, they in the school, they tell you about how to open the parachute. And now you got to go up in the air and physically jump out the plane with this parachute. You're not sure, but you believe that. When, because the instructor, she's a well-known instructor, know all about this stuff and what to do and what not to do. And they tell you, instruct you that if you, what to press the button and when and what time, to tell you from the watch, the meter that you're wearing on your hand, they tell you what height you got to pull the switch or the cord. And you get up in the plane, some of 1,000 feet up in the air, and you get to a certain 1,000 feet coming down, and they tell you at this particular spot you got to pull that button, and you're falling at such a vast speed, you're falling in the air. If you hit at the ground at that speed, you'll just be like a watermelon that hit, fall off the top of a building and hit the blacktop. You would just splatter it out. Well, you trust that cord. You trust that cord. That when you coming out that, you jump out that plane, you say, well, I'm not going to have no fear, because when I get to the height according to my meter on my hand, and I look, because you look at the meter, it's like a watch. You look at it, and it tells you the latitude and all that stuff and tell what time to pull. You figure that when you pull that cord, don't care how fast it's coming out, that parachute going to open. You not know you that, but you believe it. And you trust that man. Today is your chance to really trust Jesus to save your soul. Trust him. Believe in him. Hallelujah. He said that God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But also the Bible also said that John 3:17. We did John 3:16. But John 3:19b said that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You see, we'll go in the nightclub and we'll take going, even though we hear people are getting shot and they'll go down there, you hear people are dying from this particular drug that they're using now, but still people are using it. And people are dying and dying of the fentanyl. And people are dying and dying and dying from it, but still people are buying it. Why? Because they believe that if they smoke it, if they snort it, they're going to get this rush. They got some bad hair on out there, and they say people that are shooting it up, and they get a high, and after the high, they go into death. Just cross right over. People are still shooting. I knew because I had a friend in Virginia that they had one time, and I never shoot any kind of drugs in my hand. And anyway, I went. It was in D.C. And there was they had some heroin out there that they said it was called something crazy horse or something like that. But they said that people was getting this rush and that people were dying from. And my friend or associate at the time, because his woman or lady was, her son was my friend. He used to work for me. And I used to go over to the house. And he go over to D.C., and bought that heroin. And then they had to fight to bring him back. He was in an air corner or something, shoot him up. But people don't want to take the chance when you come to talk about salvation because they still want to live that life, living on the edge. Today, Jesus is saying it's time to come on off the edge, sister. Time to come on off the edge, brother. Come on and let me just touch you. Let me just change you. Let me revive you again. Let me restore your life and put you in right standing with the Father. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I acknowledge my sin right now, Lord. I've been living contrary to all that you require me to live, how you require me to live. I've been doing my own thing, Lord Jesus, living a sinful life. Lord, I am a habitual sinner, Lord. Lord, there's nothing good about me. That's why I come to you today, Lord. I'm broken on the inside. My mind, my spirit, my soul is broken. Jesus, I'm tired and I'm sick and tired of living my life in sin. When you come for your church, to receive your church, Lord, I want to be a part of that great calling. I want you to call me out of that place right now, oh God, that I can be with the saints. Jesus, I denounce Satan and all of his agents and this world system. I no longer have a desire to serve him or the world. I'm committed right now, Lord, to coming to you. My heart is open, and I'm inviting you to enter my heart. Sit on the throne of my heart, Jesus. I no longer want to be the king of my life, but I want you. I desire you right now, Jesus, to be the king of my life. Take control of me. Lead me and guide me, O God. You have the right, even right now, to judge me however you choose. Because my life is sinful. Today, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. I believe all that you've done on Calvary was for me, to give me a second chance, maybe a third chance, a fourth chance, to get to you. Lord, I thank you for the times that you have protected me that I didn't even know. Shielded me to that I could even get to this place to invite you to be my Savior. I thank you for the blood that was shed at the cross. I believe you died there and that you rose again on the third day. I believe that you're sitting on the right hand of the Father, even right now making intercessions for me. Jesus, I surrender to you today. Everything that I am, everything that I hope to be, I surrender to you today. Fill me with the Holy Ghost, according to Acts 2:38. In Jesus' holy name. If you said that prayer, and you believe in your heart, even if you rededicate, because every time I say it, I'm rededicating my life to Jesus, asking him to lead me and guide me. Get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts. So you have a gospel understanding of this Jesus or Savior or Rabbi or Master or soon coming King and the apostles that he left here on the earth to institute the gospel. Study the word. Mean to go over and over and over till the word is lodged in your heart, in your spirit, man. Then I want you to call a pastor, a preacher, a teacher, someone. Tell them that you received the gift of salvation and that you're studying the word, but you want to be baptized according to Acts 2:38. Some people might argue, well, we don't baptize that way. Well, don't get all flustered with the pastor, because as I said before, that you may end up preaching at the church and become the pastor of that church when the pastor retires, or maybe cross over. So don't burn the bridge that you may have to travel back over. Leave and tell the pastor, okay, I'll get back in touch with you. But get a church leader that will baptize you in Jesus' name according to Acts 2:38. Because the revelation of Matthew 19 and 20 is Jesus. And they would tell what Jesus says, baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But the revelation of that is Jesus. The name of the Father is Jesus. The name of the Son is Jesus. The name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. Hallelujah. You want to baptize them. Before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies. You want everybody that you can get. Because maybe when they come, they might want to, they see it, and from the sermon that the pastor preached on that moment, just a short sermonette, people may be convicted that they want to be receive Jesus as Lord. And then they might go to the baptismal class to get baptized also. So invite as many people. That's a very this will be your new birthday, so you want a lot of people to be there, and even your enemies. Because, you know, I tell people, man, when I got baptized, I told the people that I was getting high with and smoking all that cocaine, that I said, I'm no longer getting high, that I was saved. But I realized that now I'm higher now than when I was using cocaine, and it doesn't cost me any money. All I need to do is study my word. And sometimes I get so high that I begin to weep. Sometimes I just be laughing. I'll be just celebrating a joy that takes over my spirit, man, you know, and it don't cost me anything. He's already paid a price for it. Glory to God. Thank God for all those that received the gift of salvation, those that will rededicate their lives today or whenever they hear the sermon. And then we'll get a place, find a place, find a house that teaching and preaching the gospel, and get yourself involved in ministry. Don't just go and become lost after you get baptized. Get yourself into a house of worship, a place of that teaching the truth, okay? Because everybody's not preaching and teaching through. Some people are preaching prosperity, name it and claim it. You want to be in a church that preaching against sin and preaching judgment, letting you know that you judgment day is coming. It's coming fast. It's coming on us fast. You're looking around and see how much hurricanes that we have. Everywhere we look around, there's another tornado. There's another shaking. There's mudslides all over the world. Look at the Euphrates River. It's drying up. Now the river, Tigris River, is drying up too. You know, a lot of things are happening that the Bible said would happen. So I tell you, get ready, get ready. You got to get your life together and make a decision that you're going to live for Christ. God bless you all. Thank you for listening to me rambling on. The line is now open for anyone that want to respond. If nobody want to respond, we will pray and close out. And I have to get a shower. I got to go here to take care, install this stove for this lady, and get back home. God bless you all. The line is open. Thank you for hearing me. Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Father, we thank you and praise you, God, for this day. Thank you for the service. Thank you, Father God, for the word that you have given to us. And thank you for those that you allow to come on today to hear the word. We ask you to bless every hearer and that hear the word today and those that would hear it at a later date. We ask you, God, to bless the airways, oh God, and protect those that are out there in the field working. God, oh God, as they have to drive home or drive from place to place, God, we ask for traveling mercy. We ask, oh God, for those that are working and those that are doing the housewife, house husband jobs, stuff. Some husbands are home and the wives are working. Some wives are home and the husband is working. We ask, God, that you keep them safe and secure, Lord, that no hurt, harm, or danger befall them while they are traveling to the store, doctor's office, or whatever. God, we pray today, God, for our president, for the vice president, for the Congress, the senators, the Supreme Court Justice Department. Father, we pray that you keep them safe because we are living in perilous times and people are sending out threats to them, to the people in the governmental offices. Lord, we pray for those that are running for governors, those that are running to be reinstalled as senators and governors and even for presidents. Lord, we are praying today in the name of Jesus for the police department. Oh, God, the fire department. We lost a couple of firemen here in our city. Well, we pray right now a couple of police officers. We're praying, Father God, for there be a revamping in the police department, Lord, a cleansing. Oh, God, that these superintendents and these sergeants, all those that are in authority and high position, that, Lord, that they will stop looking over the mistakes and abuse of these police officers and that they will get the bad apples out. We know there's still a lot of good officers out there, but there's also a lot of bad officers out there. Oh, God, those that just want to have a gun on their side license to carry a gun, and they can't wait to put it in somebody's mouth and threaten them, put it next to somebody's head and threaten them because they figure they are police officers. Lord, we pray today, Lord, that you remove the corrupt officers, even the corrupt politicians, oh God, that you remove them out of offices, senators, presidents, Congress, oh God, House of Representatives. Lord, remove them, oh God. We pray to Father God for marriages right now, God. And Father, we are praying that you touch every marriage. Lord, it seems like so many people are getting divorced in the church, oh God. You would think that that was a place that people were staying together. But so many people are getting divorced in the church and leaving. You know, oh God, you hear men saying, well, I leave my wife. Women say, well, I was tired of him. I'm just tired of him. You know, but they say they love the Lord. They're preaching and teaching and singing and dancing, playing the instruments for God, but they can't stand together because they're not using the manuscript. The manuscript gives us all that you need to overcome the attacks of the enemy. We pray today that you strengthen marriage, oh God. Rekindle the fires in those marriages that are getting ready to just fall to ashes right now. We ask, oh God, that you rekindle the fire that they once had. Cause the light to burn bright and clear. Father, we pray today for every son, every daughter that's out there in the kingdom. We pray, Father God, for the children in schools right now, God. We pray for their protection, oh God. We pray for them that those that they don't have the finance, they can't catch the bus to get to and fro, they have to walk to school. We pray, Father God, that you set out angels to protect our kids and grandkids as they're walking back home, oh God. Lord, we pray today, Lord God, we pray today for this child that's been kidnapped, that has been taken, oh God, that pedophile. We pray today, oh God, that you arrest the pedophile, release the kids, oh God. We pray today for those human traffickers, oh God, to be taken out, oh God, taken out of commission, put them somewhere where they can't harm no one us and those that are organ traffickers, oh God. Lord, we pray today in the name of Jesus Christ that you bring down that spirit of destruction, oh God. Lord, we pray today in the name of Jesus, Father God, that you revive us again, oh God. Bring back America back to where it once was, oh God, where at least it was heading on a way of righteousness, but then it completely turned away. Oh, Father, we ask you to start with the church first, oh God. Lord, that the church begin, that they become the church again, oh God, and that men begin to speak strong, preach and teach strong doctrine, oh God. We pray today in the name of Jesus, oh God, that men and women begin to think and focus on heaven, oh God. Focus on the return of Jesus Christ, oh God. And God, we pray today in the name of Jesus that you begin to release the anointing. Release the anointing in the atmosphere that would bring clarity, oh God, to us, oh God. Oh God, help us to see and hear what you would have us to see and hear, and help us to do what you would have us to do. Father, we ask us to ask you to forgive us, oh God, if we have wronged anyone, if we have neglected anyone. We ask you, God, the things are so up and down right now, Lord God, that you help us to see and do, oh God. Lord, we ask, oh God, for healing in my body. Lord, heal my knee, my left knee, oh God, is being filled, trying to get filled up with stuff. But God, we pray right now in the name of Jesus that whatever was trying to get in my knee, Lord God, that it dissolve and go out, Lord God. We command it to leave right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray, God, for those that are suffering with eye infections, oh God, and ear infections, oh God. People that are suffering with thyroid problems, oh God, thyroid of the throat, oh God, and the legs, oh God, of the groins, oh God. We pray, Father God, that you heal the thyroid glands right now in the name of Jesus. Somebody is suffering, oh God, with brain tumor, lung tumor, oh God, kidneys, oh God, have failing kidneys. Lord, we pray right now in the name of Jesus for you to heal right now, God. Lord, we ask, oh God, that you move in right now, and God, that you do the surgery, oh God. God, you do the surgery and bring healing in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We thank you and praise you right now in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen, 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 amen.
All right, my friend. Thank you. You too.
Praise you, O God. Thank you for the word you have given us today. God, we pray. Pray now, O Father, as we leave this line, but never your presence, O God.
We leave this line, but never your presence, O God, that you would bless us to walk in the anointing, to live in the anointing. We pray right now in the name of Jesus that you bless those that heard the word, those that will hear it later. And Lord, that you keep us safe and secure in the name of Jesus. We honor you, we adore you, and we are constantly desiring to serve you more and more. We ask, oh God, that you continue to watch over us and watch over our children. Keep us safe, Lord, even as I go down to this place to install this gas stove for this lady. We ask, oh God, that you give us traveling mercy, and not only traveling mercy, but give us keeping mercy. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, continue to rest and abide upon us. And surely, goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you loved them, and Jesus is the only way. And maybe the word that you share today in somebody's ear gate that would make all the difference in their lives. They may stop someone from committing suicide. Stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Jesus wants us to be the light shining in the darkened world. Hallelujah. We must be that light that shines in a darkened world. Hallelujah. People must see Jesus in us.
Okay? So I want you today to leave this line today. If you don't leave with anything else, leave with a knowing that you are being empowered to proclaim the truth. You have been empowered to proclaim the truth. Know this without a shadow of doubt, that God has given you what you need to proclaim the truth before men and before God. I love you guys so much, but I want you to know that God loves you even more, okay? He loves you even more. God bless you all, and I want you all to have a blessed day. We'll be back on tomorrow afternoon at 12 o'clock, if the Lord stays the same, and we are in the land of the living, to bring part two of this message tomorrow. God bless you all. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Okay.